I'm going to be over in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. You can turn over there. I'll read the scripture here in a little bit. You can just bear with me. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. The major division between professing Christians today is no longer what denomination you belong to. It's not. The division between those who believe that the Bible is true and those who believe it is not. That's where the major divisions lie today. It was predicted in the Scripture. It is nothing that I'm standing up here telling you some big revelation. And we'll get to the Scripture here. But it is predicted that it would be this way. The inspired Word of God, you know, those who believe in the inspired Word of God are becoming few in number as we speak. They really are. I told you last week, the Lord really, I was going to speak on the truth of the Bible. And that's what I want to speak about today. And the Lord willing, if He can get with me, I've got a lot to get to and a long way to go. You know, you got a long way to go and a short time to get there. You ever heard that? And you know what? I've got that. So you're going to have to bear with me to say, folks, we see and hear it on every hand. We do. Ryan even kind of mentioned this morning, if you stand up and believe God's word, you're old-fashioned, you're intolerant, you're narrow-minded. There's nothing I haven't said before. You're judgmental. And I can just go on and on and on. If you stand up and believe the word of God as the inspired truth of God from Himself, that's how you're perceived. And I'll just tell Titus bluntly. And you know, lest you take a stand, if you take a stand against sin according to what the Bible tells you, and that's not just the world that's doing that today. Unfortunately, there's some in the church world today that have the same theory, that have the same stance about the Word of God. And I looked and I was trying to find some stuff on this down through the week. The last poll that I could see taken was in 2007, and Gallup took it. And I like to throw this out there because, you know, this is back in 2007. It said, those that actually believe the Word of God is to be literally taken, if you go amongst all the people, the Catholics, 21% believe that. That's all that believe it. The Protestants, 40% believe that. And other Christians, and I don't know who they threw in, I guess it's just all, 45% of them believe that. But you know what? You go on down to believe that it's ancient fables, and 16% of the Catholics believe it's just an ancient fable. And you know what? And Protestants are something like 11%. And, you know, just it goes on down the line. And I want to ask you a question this morning. If you believe that the Word of God is just a fable or just some old story out there, why are you considering yourself any kind of denomination? I guess that's what I want to ask. But, you know, that's just the way this thing goes. Now, like I said, that's an old poll. It could be a lot worse today for all I know. I couldn't find anything on it. Too many fail to realize this, folks, that our authority isn't from a church denomination. It isn't from some place located in Rome or England or any city in the United States. Our authority that I stand upon and that you stand upon this morning comes from the Word of God. And if it does not come from the Word of God, folks, it's not coming from no one or other than maybe Satan. Amen? It's based on the infallible. It's based on the inerrant. It's based on God-breathed Word that comes from the Bible. And I would like also to say here this morning without stuttering or stammering around, I believe that the Drift Run Church stands on those principles this morning. I believe it. I've been around you enough, and I hope that you understand that I am going to stand on God's Word and I believe it wholeheartedly. It makes no difference. I belong to my church conference, and they have their own set of bylaws and stuff like that, and I would not belong to that conference if they did not believe what the Word of God says. I'm going to tell you right now. I'd be independent totally. I wouldn't care what I did. I would do what God's Word says. I wouldn't want to belong to some conference that doesn't. And I'll just be blunt with you. And the churches and denominations are nothing more than social clubs if they don't stand on God's Word. Amen? Listen, if the Bible is not true from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21, then you know what? And every word and everything in between it is true. If it's not true, folks, we're not doing anything. We're not going to do no good for nobody. We're not. Listen, the Bible, number one, and I'm going to read, let's go ahead and read the scripture that I got with you, 2 Timothy 3:14. Let's start there. And it says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Remember that. Remember that Drift Run Church. Remember this, you know, remember, it says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Wow. Amen. I believe God's word is to, you know what? We, every one of you in here, has the ones that have been going to church all your life, your family, your churches have taught you the inerrant God of the word. I know they have. I know how you talk and how you do. And you know, never forget what God has taught you. Never forget it. And that thou from a child has known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Kids, listen to me. The word of God is being taught to you. Never ever let anybody change your mind and thoughts about the holy word of God. You may go to college. You may go on to be, I don't know, whatever in this life. And I pray and hope that you will do what God wants you to do. But never lose the fact that what you've learned from a child when it comes from the word of God is the most important thing that you will ever learn. Listen to me, kid. Believe me on this. All scripture, and I want you to mark this because this is what I'm going to hit on here later. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Mark that little sentence right there, because right there is the foundation by which you and I are Christians this morning. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Right there is what I want to talk about this morning. You know what? Is God's word true or is it not? Is the Bible the true word of God or is it not? And I believe you know where I stand on that, but we're going to go over it again this morning. And praise God. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, to you this morning, I pray, Father, that you'd help us, Father, to look into your word, to dig into it, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is the true word of God. It is the inspired, infallible word of God. And there's nothing else that we have to stand on besides that, Lord. And we want to praise you for that, Father, this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. Folks, is the Bible inspired? Listen, inspired means God breathed. Whenever I told you to mark out a little bit, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is it inspired? What Paul is saying here is this very simple fact. That the Word of God has its ultimate origin from God Himself. It wasn't something that was put in pen down by men and then just wrote out there. It was something that God gave to men, every one of them. It was from Him, from His very breath. That's what it means by being inspired. 2 Peter 1:16 and 18 says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we make known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Peter was saying, Peter was an eyewitness to all this. He knew just exactly what God wanted him to do. So whenever his words were pinned down in 2 Peter, brothers and sisters, it was God inspired, it was God breathed, because God told him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There should be no doubt about that. Also in 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Now listen, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You ask whether or not the Holy Ghost was in the Old Testament? Brother said the Holy Ghost was all through it. The Word of God is based upon how the Scripture was based, was given to these men. And praise God, the Holy Scripture has been, the Holy Spirit has been there ever since. Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something, and I believe this, Jesus Christ can be found in almost every page of the Bible if we want to look. It can be found there. We're not talking about just some of the Bible. It says there, or you know, or maybe something be right, maybe something's right. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want to tell you something. If you read even those genealogies that you read in the Bible, it was given by inspiration of God for a reason. There's a reason it's there. Jesus told us, the men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of a preacher. No. Of a teacher? No. What did it say? It says it, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God Himself. That's what it tells us. Jesus also told us that till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. It shall all be fulfilled. I want to say something this morning. Whenever they tell us that Jesus Christ is coming back to get His church one of these days, He's coming back to get His church. He's coming back to get His church. There's no doubt. He told us that. Everything, not till every I is dotted, not till every T is crossed, that's what's going to happen. We live in a day when everything that is not nailed down is coming loose. This is mentioned earlier also. You know why? Because Satan is there. He's trying to pull the nails up as we go along. And no matter what the Bible stands upon or the principles that Christians stand on, the devil's there trying to pull it apart. We see it every day. Am I right? Many in society, they hate it. Do you know what they hate? They hate this. They hate the whole concept of absolute truth. They hate the whole concept of absolute authority. They hate it. That's why the Bible, whenever you bring the Bible up to people, you know what? There's people that absolutely hate the Bible for that reason right there. They don't like absolute authority. That's why so many hate the Word of God. That's why so many deny God's Word. I don't believe it. There are people that will literally stand up and say they don't believe God's Word. Still others trying to distort God's Word. Twist it. Say what they want it to say, right? Listen, we don't have to go very far in churches today to find out, do we? We don't have to do that. Some will even go on and dissect God's Word. They like to do that. They like to cut out the parts that they don't like in God's Word. You know what? We've seen that on many occasions, have we not? And there are others who disregard God's Word. You know what? It's irrelevant. It's unimportant. I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for God's Word, this old boy right here, you know what? I wouldn't be what I am today. I couldn't be. You wouldn't be where you're at today if it wasn't for God's Word. Am I right? There's no way. This book right here that I hold up, I want to tell you this right here. And I wrote this down because I thought this was important. Has walked more paths, has traveled more highways, knocked on more doors, spoken to more hearts, listen to me, has been spoken in more languages than any other book in the world has ever been and will ever be. It will be. That book right there has done it. This is not the book of the month. This is the book of ages, folks. This is not something that we set aside and just pick up on Sundays or pick up once whenever we want to. This should be something we read and read and read and try to soak it in. This is what we should do. Why do I believe it's the Word of God? Because no other book has ever been attacked. No other book has ever been scorned, despised, rejected. No other book has ever been burned, ridiculed. No other book has ever been outlawed. No other book has ever been talked about as much as this book. But still, it's the number one selling book in the world. Why? Because it's an inspired Word of God. And the more that the devil tries to attack it, I'm going to tell you something, the more that it's going to be, more the people want to know what it's about. Amen? Because you're not going to do that to God. The devil likes to attack it. He likes to do that. But the more he does, the more the world will grow. Amen? The more it will. Voltaire, he was a French historian. I like God's got a good sense of humor. I'm glad he does. This is back in the 1700s. And you know what he said? In 100 years, the Bible will be forgotten and be found only in museums. You know how God's got a sense of humor? Voltaire was dead about 100 years. They bought his house. And you know what they're making in his house now? They print Bibles. They print Bibles. Don't think God's got a sense of humor? Oh, yeah. Also, a guy by the name of Bob Ingersoll. Maybe most of you here don't know him, but he was a guy that was an atheist. He was right in the 1800s. He was like, you know who John Stewart is on the television today? You ever heard of John Stewart? He's some kind of a humorist, kind of makes fun of God and fun of the Word. But anyway, he traveled around. He was telling, he'd go around and he'd try to talk the Bible down. And he said this, in 15 years, I'll have the Bible in the morgue. And that's what he said. You know what? 15 years to the day he died. And you know what? He was in the morgue. And guess what lives on? The Bible lives on. It still lives on today. Many a man and woman have tried to preach the Bible funeral. They've tried to do that. You know what? The only thing I could find about that is that the corpse outlived the pallbearers, right? Many a man and woman have tried to do that. But you know, the Bill Nyes of the world will come out and go and try to put the Word of God just like this and try to put it down, try to make the Bible of no effect. But you know what? The Bible is just like the Energizer Bunny. It keeps going and going and going and going. And I'm going to get into some more facts about the Bible here in a little bit that maybe totally amaze you, maybe. I don't know, but I hope it will. Its very organization of the Bible is a miracle. Do you understand that? The very way that it was put together is a miracle in itself. These 66 books that you have the opportunity to read were written over a 1,600 year span. Do you understand this? Now listen to this. Over 1,600 years this Bible was written by 40 different men. 40 different men wrote it from 13 different countries, from 13 different countries and 3 different continents. That's where this Bible came from. Yet it all come together without contradiction. It all come together without anything like that going on. It all come together. Why? Because our God was the one that was over top of getting it done. Amen? That's why the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. You know what? That's a miracle in itself. I want to take 40 of you in this church, and I want to take you out in the building, and I want you to agree on 40 different subjects that I give you. I want to see how that goes. You think you could? But these guys, 40 different of them, from 40 different, like I said, from how many countries? 13 countries, 3 different continents. They wrote the Word of God. They did it. Some of them were doctors, some of them were fishermen, some of them were shepherds, some of them were soldiers, kings, princes, some were rich, some were poor, some educated and some undereducated. But praise God, whenever God orchestrated this thing, it went together perfectly. And it still stands perfectly today. Praise God for that. Its origination was even amazing. Is it right? It's even a miracle. And that's what they learned. They were discussing. And yet God's Word stands without contradiction. God's Word stands with the same hero that runs all the way through it, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? The same one. Do you know that the Gideons distributed over 500 million Bibles last year themselves? I found this. I tried to find this, how many Bibles have been distributed this past year. The only thing I come up with is that they didn't know the exact number. 2.5 to 6 billion were sold worldwide. The Bible. And people want to think that the Bible's dead. They want to think that God's dead. What is it? These people, what are they thinking? Also, I want to tell you this. The scientific accuracy of the Bible is something that is unmatched. You understand that? It is unmatched. The Bible revealed scientific facts, listen, that were hundreds and thousands of years old. Hundreds and thousands of years old. Before they even learned them in our scientific community. How do you know that? I'll give you some facts on it. When I was looking this up, I got this very interesting. Every once in a while, you hear what I'm trying to disagree with the Bible. Oh, and let's don't get too hard on them. They just need to catch up. They need to catch up with what the Bible had to say about it, right? Science has always needed to catch up. Let's talk about medicine. As recently as 1600s, you know what the doctors thought? Scientists believed that the human body, if it had too much blood in it, that's what made it sick. You ever hear people bleeding themselves? I did when I was a kid. I remember that. You know the barbershop poles that's got the red and white stripe around it? You know what the red stripe stands for? That used to be a place where they could go and be bled. That's what it meant. And doctors would prescribe them to do that. Did you know George Washington, whenever he was sick, they bled him 3 times, and on the last time that they bled him, they took over a quart of blood out of him, and that's when he died. I didn't know that until I got to studying this, but you know what? Doctors would prescribe it. And I thought, man, I said, that's pretty amazing. Now, well, I wonder what the Bible says about something like that, huh? Now, you know, they do, but they found out later in life, they found out that the blood fights disease. The blood brings nourishment. It repairs tissues. It promotes growth. If they would have only read Leviticus, the 17th chapter, 11th verse, it told them this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you, the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh the atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus, God, how do they know that? Because every bit of Word Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Moses didn't have nothing back then to figure this out. Praise God, God told him. It took science a long time to catch up, did it not? Remember the plague that hit Europe. 1 in 4 people died during that plague. And you know how, you know what? They had all these people trying to figure out what's going on. They said it was this, they said it was that. And you know what happened? You know how they found out? They went back and they found something that was called a quarantine. And you know where they found it out? They found it in the Bible. Because what the Bible says that all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. And without the camp shall his habitation be. The quarantine come into effect. And how do they know it? Because God inspired word. They said a monk or a priest or somebody had went into the scripture and read it. And that's how they stayed the plague in Europe. Because they started quarantining people. People in Moses' day didn't know anything about microbiology. They didn't know what a germ or a virus was. God gave them the principles of this in the Word of God. He gave it to them. Why? Because God's Word is inspired. It's God-breathed. He knew that mankind would need this stuff. And another thing. In the 1800s, a physician over in Vienna, Austria, he noticed that whenever he was over this hospital, and he noticed that these women were coming in, these pregnant women, and they were getting examined by his doctors, and they were leaving, and within a short amount of time, they were dying of infections. And they couldn't figure it out. Could not figure it out. And so he got to noticing them. What they were doing, they were going out in the hospital and examining other people. They were going to the morgue and examining bodies. And then they were coming into the hospital without washing up. And they'd go in and they'd examine these ladies, and they'd end up getting infections, and they would end up dying. You know what? All they had to do was read the Bible. The scriptures that were there. And those scriptures were there. And it told them over Numbers 19, 14 and 19. This is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, and all that come into the tent, and all that is in the tent, shall be unclean 7 days. It goes on down through there to tell them, it said, and a clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day, he shall purify himself. Now get this. And wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean at evening. The doctor read that, and he said, my doctors need to start washing up before they see patients. They need to start. Do they do that today? Yes, because it's the common practice. You know what? It was in the Bible. It was in the Bible. How about bacteria in homes and mold that grows in homes? It's in the Bible. Leviticus 14, 33, and 57. It tells you what to do. I didn't know that either. When I got to studying this, there's a lot of stuff I didn't know with the Bible. How about astronomy? This is what it really gets me. You know what? This takes science forever to catch up. We take for granted that the earth is suspended in nothing, right? We take that for granted. The earth is hanging out there in nothing, hanging from nothing. You know what ancient Egypt believed? They believed and they taught this that the earth was supported by 5 pillars. That's what Egypt. And these people were smart. The Greeks were real smart. And this is what they believed. It rested upon Atlas's shoulders. And the Hindus were really smart. It rested upon the back of elephants, which rested upon the back of a turtle, which was on a coiled serpent in the middle of a cosmic sea. And that's how the earth, and that's how these people taught this for years. I am glad that you know what? The Bible told us the truth, and it's still telling us the truth today. Because the oldest text in the Bible, which is Job and Genesis, it tells us over in Job 26:7, he stretched out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. I tell you what, that was a radical thought. That was a radical thought up until a few hundred years ago. There are people that believe that. How did this uneducated Job, who didn't even have the Hubble telescope, know this? Because the Word of God is inspired. It's God-breathed. It is why? Because all of it is given by inspiration. Until the 1492, guess what? Columbus and they believed the world was flat. They believed it. You know what? They believed that the world was flat. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah said this in 40:22. It is He that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the habitation thereof as a grasshopper. Do you know what the circle of the earth means when it said He set upon it? It means a sphere. It means something round. God was telling this telling the 700 years before Columbus even sailed. It takes a while for science to catch up. Can I say it? It takes a while for them to catch up. How do they know this? How do they know this? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What about all those stars in the skies that you see, the astronomers see? There was a guy in 150 B.C. who sat down with a pencil and counted the stars. And this is what he came up with. 1,022 stars. And do you realize that was taught for 250 years in the school? Lo and behold, another guy come along and he counted four more stars. So he said, no, there's 1,226. And you know what? That was taught for 1,300 more years. Until guess who come along? Galileo. Galileo invented the telescope. And then you know what? Now there's billions and billions of stars. All they'd had to done was read Jeremiah 33:22. It said, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sands of the sea shall be measured. Folks, listen to me. It takes a while for science to catch up to what God's Word says. It takes a while. Science has always needed to catch. History is on its trail. History is on trial also. For years, historians tried to dissect the Bible and Moses and wrote. They tried to say that Moses didn't write the first five books of the Bible because there was no written language at the time Moses was alive on this earth. That's what they tried to say. Well, you know what happened? They laughed. They said, ha, 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 we got you now. Well, in 1887, there was 300 clay tablets unearthed. And you know what those clay tablets said? They were like a thousand years before Moses even walked on this earth. They showed a business transaction. They even showed different things that had taken place between the Egyptians and the Palestine centuries before Moses was even born. So yes, there was written language. Yes, there was. And guess what? They even had a postal service. It was probably faster than what we had today. Folks, what about the story about Daniel and Belshazzar? They tried to say that that's not true because Belshazzar was not the last king. That's what they tried to say. Historians laughed and said he wasn't even mentioned in the records. He was not the last king of Babylon. They said that there was another guy. And they said that he was the last king of Babylon. And they laughed and they said, well, we've got the Bible again. It's not right. It's not true. And you know what they found out? They dug up ancient text again that found out that the guy that was king, this was Belshazzar's dad, and that they co-ruled, and that he would go out around the world while Belshazzar stayed at the kingdom. And that explains Daniel perfectly. But yet, you see, these people try to make it out like it's not. That it's not true, that the Bible is not true. The Bible is absolutely true. And I would argue with anybody's point. Early 1900s, a guy by the name of Sir William Ramsay set out to prove Luke wrong. He set out to serve him wrong. He said he was going to the Middle East, and you know what? He would prove that he is no more of a... He said, I have no respect for Luke as a historian. None whatsoever. He went over, he did his job, come back, and this is what he said. I now take the view that Luke's history is unsurpassed in its trustworthiness. Why? Because God's Word is inspired. That's why. I knew the moment that I got saved that God's Word was true. I believed it. Like I said, I could not put it down. I read it and I read it and I read it. And God's Word is true. And you know why? You know why there's people that doubt God's Word? Because they've never got to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they'll never doubt the Word of God. They'll never doubt it. Because you know why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the Word of God makes total sense. It comes into focus. If the Word, if the Spirit of God is not in your life, you have no eye. You'll doubt everything that the Word of God says. You'll doubt everything that it says. But whenever the Spirit of God comes in, you will not doubt it. But I want to tell you something, the greatest truth that I found in God's Word. And it's a song that we sing. Jesus loved me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. That's the greatest truth out of all this that I could come up with. That's the greatest truth. Folks, the Bible is truth. It is truth. There's no doubt in my mind it is truth. No matter what historians want to dig up, no matter what the scientists want to try to prove today, no matter where they want to go with it today, I want to tell you something. The Word of God will always prove itself out. It will always prove itself out. Call me old-fashioned. Call me narrow-minded. You can call me a bigot. Call me what you want. But I'll tell you what, one thing you can call me is saved. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can call me that. Folks, if they come and get a song this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. So the next time somebody tries to doubt one little part of it, and say something about this part over here, I don't know about this part, I don't know about that, listen to me. Tell them to that Scripture right there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed.